Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I thank you all for joining me. I want to just remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Rate 5 stars, give it a download, all that good stuff. Before we get underway here, I do want to remind everybody that interviews are brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Truthburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer a dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they will come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. And like I said, on month, well, I guess it was Tuesday night now. I said on Tuesday night, Jacob Ingham, he currently sits first in points in the IMCA for the Woodhall, for the Woodhall part of it, and then fourth in the NY Penn IMCA modified series. So I'm excited to get his point of view there. Different driver than what we're kind of used to. I guess I had Jake Maynard on, but he's more putting on the promotional hat. So excited to get Jacob in here and I guess hear how his year's going. And I'm going to have to ask him if he's got anything up his sleeves for Keith Lamphere come Saturday night. Well, I guess let's not wait any longer. Let's get him in here and we can get this interview underway. Jacob, how are we doing today?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm not bad, not bad. Just happy to talk to an IMCA guy. We got Jake Maynard to think about this because, I didn't even think about having anybody on. And then he said, you know what? You should have the point leader on. And I said, you know what? That's a fine idea. So we have to thank him
All
and you for making time to sit down and talk to me.
right.
So you come into this weekend, you're sitting first in the Woodhall points, and you're sitting fourth in the NY Penn series. I guess, was that kind of a plan that you had coming into the year to compete for the championship in both of those, or just kind of the way that it shook out?
I mean, I guess, when you race as much as we do, you try to do the best that you can, no matter, if it's track points or series points or whatever. But I didn't have a very good year in the series last year. I only finished a handful of races. Like, I kind of felt like every time I turned around, I was kind of in a mess. So by far, this year is way better than last year. And by chance, this is just how it shook out. So.
This is only second or third year in an IMCA.
This will be my second full year in
Second.
IMCA.
And what'd you do before that?
Race, I had a street stock before that. So this
Okay.
will be my sixth full year race in a car, but the first four were in a street stock.
Okay. Now is that quite a bit different?
Yeah, there's quite a few differences. It's definitely a little bit to get used to, but I'm slowly adapting, I guess.
Well, you got a pretty good partner. I think you get along pretty well with Keith Lamphere, right?
Yeah, him and I are good friends. Actually, I keep my car up to his place in his shop, so we spend a lot of time together.
Right. So what so I guess how's it go this week then? If you only got 5 points separating you two, or do you guys just say, hey, it's looking to be a good year for both of us over there, and however it ends up, it ends up?
That's how it is. Just however it ends up, it's we're hopefully we can both get to the front, and then we can just race it out amongst ourselves. No,
All right. Now, would you dump them for the championship?
I couldn't do that.
No.
I couldn't do that. No.
I'll tell you one thing. If it was just for a race win, I know you won't do that because you had plenty of opportunities. Well, I think 2 races ago.
It's one of them things. It's at the end of the day, the money and the good finishes are coming back to the same shop, so you just ride with it, and however it works out, it works out.
Right. Do you guys work on your own stuff and just kind of bounce ideas off and lend a hand if you really need it? Or I guess how's
Yeah,
that?
I mean, yeah, we help each other as needed. I mean, obviously he's been in the class a long time, so it's more, me bouncing ideas off of him, but no, we work together as a group and try to go and just do the best we can.
Okay, now how many guys do you got working out of there? Is it just you two, or I'm
Nope,
guessing it's your
there's
brother, right?
three of
Yeah.
us. Well, his cousin JW or James Lampier, he's the third car out of there. But yeah, it's myself, JW, and Keith Jack out of the shop.
Yeah. See, that goes to show you what I know, because I thought it was his brother. So see, we all learned something new. So what'd you do before racing? How'd you get started in it?
Oh, well, it's kind of a twisty, turny road, but so I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. My dad kind of introduced me to the whole dirt track thing. It was Dunhill Speedway then, but we'd go up there and we'd watch the races, every week or every other week. And then I'd go to work with him on the weekends, and some guys that he worked with raced four-wheelers. So I got into the four-wheeler racing, and I raced those for 7 or 8 years. And then the local racing kind of took a turn for the worse, and didn't really have the money to travel and race like we needed to. So I got out of that. And then some buddies of mine had diesel pickups. So got into that and got into some truck pulling here and there. Did that for a while. And I had just graduated high school pretty much and started working. And I just didn't have the money. Like any motorsport, the rules are ever evolving, and I didn't have the money to really dump into it like I needed to compete at the level I wanted to. So after the whole truck pulling adventure, I took it was probably 4 or 5 years off from competing myself, and then I was going back to the track pretty regular, the dirt track pretty regular, and was just helping people out, and I was helping the Lampiers out and just kind of hanging around. And then I was at the hill one night, and I was waiting in the line to get some food, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody looked at me and they're like, you're here every week, you're always helping people. And they're like, well, if you're gonna be here every week and actually spend the time working on cars, you might as well work on your own car. And I was kind of thought to myself, I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. So we figured we'd give it a shot and see how it went.
And then you
And
just
here we
bought the
are.
you bought the street stock from then.
Yeah, I bought the street stock. The winter of 2019 is when I bought that. And then 2020 was my first year.
Okay. Did you ever think about doing anything? Well, because street stocks is kind of a quite a jump for somebody that's not really racing, you know? Did you ever think about maybe starting a little smaller, or did you just say, nah, we're gonna go I guess feet first into this thing, and whatever happens, happens.
I mean, I considered it, but I guess it was at the point, where I did the four-wheeler racing, I did the truck pulling thing, and I'm like, well, I kind of know where I want to be. So it's like, I guess at the end of the day, I'm gonna save myself the time, and I shouldn't say the aggravation, but the time anyway. I'm gonna get in a class I know I won't move from, and I know I want to be in. So I was able to just start the street stock and have at it.
Right. So you did that for what, about 6, 7 years then?
Yeah, I did the street stocks for 4 years,
Four.
and 4 years, and then obviously we kind of know where the street stock class is at the current state, and I was kind of like, I need to do something where the rules are the same, because it's a lot to try to go from track to track, and this track has one set of rules, this track has another set of rules. So I'm like, well, I was like, kind of IMCA it is, and of course the Lampiers all had IMCAs, and then I had been around that class quite a bit, so I said, I guess that's my next jump.
Right, yeah, that's a pretty, I guess that was a pretty easy, I guess when you looked at the street stock and you wanted to go somewhere else, that was a pretty natural fit.
Yeah, I mean, when I actually got into an IMCA for the first time, I had never drove one short of just moving it out of the garage or into the trailer. Actually, Keith Jack's Uncle Gary asked me if I had wanted to drive one of his cars, and I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I gave it a shot, and I'm like, ah, these things are pretty cool. So, like I said, that was just kind of the next jump.
I hear they're awfully hard.
Yeah, they're different. They're definitely different. They are, I feel like in a street stock, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit, if your car is good and you're comfortable in it. And these cars really aren't like that. You kind of you have to be up on the wheel at all the time, you know. But it's fun. It's fun.
Right. Is that, I was going to say that might make it even more fun. You might be a little bit more tired out, but it might make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a very good time.
So I want to go back real quick. You said that you got into the truck pulls. How, I guess, how did that come about? What did, were you just kind of around a bunch of guys and they all did it, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any hobbies but short of motorsports. I mean, ever since I was a kid, that's kind of all I ever did was motorsport stuff. I mean, most kids or whatever, their dad and their grandfather, they go hunting or fishing, and that's kind of their thing. Like myself and my dad, we went to truck pulls and demolition derbies, lawnmower races, you name it, we went to it. And just from day one, I've always just been into motorsports. And of course, everything we went to, I was like, "Oh, Dad, we had to get this or we had to get that." And he always told me, he's like, "Oh, when you make your own money, you can get whatever you want." So, like I said, when the four-wheeler racing kind of died off, I knew a lot of people with diesel pickups, and they were all truck pulling. So I was like, "All right, we'll give it a shot." So I did that for a handful of years and had a good time, and got to meet a lot of good people, and that's how that adventure got started.
Do you ever miss that, the truck pulls, or are you pretty
Oh
happy with
yeah.
the race car?
No, I miss the four wheelers, and I do miss the truck pulls. It's just, I mean, it's for the time, the money ratio that you're in the seat, definitely the dirt car stuff is a lot better.
I mean, you spend all that money. I mean, how long are you in a seat for? 10 seconds? I mean,
Yeah,
you know that.
not very long. And I mean, at least, like I tell people, everybody's like, "Oh, you realize race cars are a lot of money?" I said, "Yeah." I said they are, but I was like, "It's not truck pulling or tractor pulling money. I can assure you of that." At least if I go out and take the green, I still get some tow money. If you hook to a sled and you bump it 2 foot, well, you bumped it 2 foot. That's
Right.
all you got, two
Well,
foot.
I always said that about demolition derbies. I don't know if you know this, but that's what I do. So that's my form of
Okay.
motorsport. So, and I always said, it's kind of funny that, because there's a lot of time where we pay about $50 to run, and then I said, they pay the top three, so you kind of wonder, maybe race cars wouldn't be such a bad deal, because then at least then if you start, you could get some cash.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I always tell this story. When I was racing four wheelers, you start in amateurs and you work your way up. And the one year I moved it expert class, and you got a payout. Well, the one year I won the Pennsylvania State Championship, and they were get you know every other I had won it 3 years in a row, and you get a 6 foot tall trophy. And I was excited. I'm like, sweet. I was like, you get a trophy, another 6 footer, And then I got to the window, and I'm like expecting my 6 foot tall trophy, and I got $50. And I'm like, where's the trophy? And they're like, "Oh no, you don't get the trophy. You get money." I'm like, man. I was like, you can take the $50 back. I was like, I'd rather the 6 foot tall trophy, But
Yeah,
so.
I've heard that from quite a few drivers that you love the money, but really at the end of the day you're probably all losing money as it is. You can almost rather get the trophy and the big check. The big checks I know are a big one.
Yeah, the big check would be nice. I haven't got one of those yet, so I'd like to get myself one.
Well, you're gonna have to tell Keith that he's gonna have to move right out of the way. Stop holding up. Stop holding you up.
Yeah, right. Well, he's a tough customer, and he's got a
Yes.
bunch of big checks. So, the way I look at it, if I'm gonna get a big check, I want to beat him outright for it,
Right. What were you thinking though when you were running behind him? Because you were right there. I mean, you threw just about everything you could at him. Were you just like, well, that's the experience factor, and that's the way it is, or what? What are you thinking in the seat?
No matter where you're at, he spent, I think this will be his 11th year in one of those cars. And I remember, back when he first started in IMCA, I really didn't know him that well, but I was around the same group of people. And no matter where he's at, he's just tough. He's been in them so long, it's like second nature to him. So no matter where he's at on the track, generally, he's gonna end up at the front. So if when he passes you or gets past you, you try to latch on and you try to learn something from him. At least that's the
Right.
way I look at it.
Right. Now, when you so you're racing Woodhull, right, and you're running for the points, and with the series coming in, does that kind of change? Because usually when there's so with the modified, say, with the series comes in, usually you're getting show up points. Now, is that something that kind of frustrates you maybe once if you're running for points and then these other guys come in that don't run there all the time? But and I know a lot of times you guys have, I think maybe like Rodney Morgan, there are a few that don't race Woodhull but race the series. Does that kind of or do you not care? You just rather race against everybody?
That's one of those things. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the way I look at it anyway, is it really you might gain a handful more cars than what we normally have on a regular weeknight or week race there. So, I mean, of course, you got Rodney or whatever that shows up, and he's always good. But you just the way I look at it is you're gonna go into the race and you're gonna play the cards you're dealt, and
Right.
if it's meant to be, it'll work out.
Right.
I mean, everybody knows that racing is, it's kind of a, it's a double-edged sword. So, like I said, you just kind of play the card you're dealt, and however it works out.
Well, exactly. Go talk to Keith. He'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because I think he what won two races at Woodhull, and
Yep,
then he
got
had
the
a
flat
pretty
tire.
miserable week, and then lost the point lead. Now he's 5 points back,
Yep.
and that, like you said, double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's, I mean, but then again, look at what he's done at Thunder Mountain. He's pretty well waxed. That's pretty good at Thunder Mountain. So, just it's one of those things that you take it how it comes, and you keep your head up and you just keep on digging, I guess.
Right. Now, do you like that? Do you like traveling like that?
Yeah, I don't mind the traveling. I know some people it's some people don't like it, but I mean, between the four wheelers and the truck pulling and stuff, that's really all I ever did was travel. So the traveling really doesn't bother me.
Right. Was there a lot of four? So there wasn't a lot of local four-wheeler tracks, or?
Yeah, there was, but I mean, you there was well, even the local track per se was still over an hour from my house.
Good.
But I mean, we were New York State, and when I actually started drag racing four wheelers before I started motocrossing, and we were everywhere. We were Canada and here, there, and everywhere. So, like I said, the traveling really doesn't bother me much.
Right. I always thought it was kind of neat how the IMCAs do it, because I think he had what, five at Woodhull, and then what do you guys do at Thunder Mountain? Is that every other week?
Yeah, it wasn't quite every other week, but I think I want to say we were gonna have five at Woodhull. Probably, I think we were close to 8 or 10 at Thunder Mountain, something like that. I mean, the first 10 races of our season got rained out, so we were actually 10 shy of what we about 10 shy of what we were actually going to be. But if we get the next three races in, we'll be at 27 or 28 for the year, so still a pretty good amount.
Right. Did you and you ran Penn Can weekly?
Last year, yeah, we ran Penn Can until the hill opened up.
Okay, yep, you're right. Okay.
And then we went back to the hill. But I mean, I think I only missed two races at Penn Can.
Okay.
So
So that's kind of neat. You guys are seeing a lot of tracks, a lot of different ways people are doing stuff, and that, I don't know. That seems to me like it'd be a lot more fun.
it's like I said, it's a good time. It's nice to experience different places, because I feel like, when you race the same tracks over and over and over, I feel like you kind of get stale of it. So the fact that we get to travel around and experience some different places is pretty good in my opinion.
Yeah, and from my point of view, you get mad at track officials too.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad on my part, but I know some other people's parts maybe here and there, but I guess that's just part of it.
Everyone's gonna put up with it sometimes, so
That's it.
be aware of it.
Yeah.
How is it racing for Jake?
I have no problem. I mean, I commend him for sticking his neck out and, putting forth the effort with the series and, IMCA in general, because I mean, it's hard to find people that'll put forth that much effort
Right.
to get it, try to build a class back up that was, not really down in the dumps, but it's not like it is now. I gotta give him a lot of credit for doing what he does and giving us the opportunities that he's given us.
Yeah, I guess I never really realized exactly what all that went into what he did until I had him on here. I didn't realize that he did the entire East Coast. I mean that I feel
Yeah.
like that would be such an unnecessary headache, but if you love it, you love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, I laugh because that's what a lot of people, say about the race car. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of money and, so on and so forth. And, that's kind of what we tell everybody. It's, you don't do it to get rich. You just do it because you like to do it.
Well, and let's be honest, if we're making enough money, we're gonna find something to spend our money on anyway, so
Yeah, that's yeah. Whether it's a camper, a boat, a race car, you name it.
right. Well, that's what I think a lot of people are doing, is especially at the beginning of the year, they were thinking they need to sell everything and go get a boat.
Yeah, we definitely got enough rain for that. That's for sure.
Do you ever foresee yourself wanting to go on anything different? Other than an IMCA, or are you pretty much stuck with the IMCA now?
I don't know. I think I'm pretty much stuck with it. Just the fact that you can pick up and go anywhere you want to go, and you don't have to worry about rules being different. And other than that, I mean, I guess if I had to choose something else that I'd want to get into, it'd probably be a late model, but I'm pretty content where I'm at.
Then the price tag goes up a little bit more.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
So
it does.
how is getting parts for the IMCAs?
It's not bad.
No,
Usually, you get your stuff from CRS, Close
okay.
Racing. That's pretty much where 3/4 of our parts come from. They,
Okay.
obviously, everybody knows they have a pretty good stock and modified stuff, and well, everything for that matter. So that's you order it Monday, and usually if they're Tuesday or Wednesday, and pretty decent.
Yeah, I met you live pretty close to there, right?
We're about 2 hours, 2.5 hours
Really?
from CRC. Oh yeah, yep.
Okay. I guess I thought he was a little closer to you guys, but I guess
No,
not.
it's a little bit of a little bit of a drive.
So what would that be more east or?
I actually think it's more west. I think
It
you're
might be. I
pretty
don't
easy
have a clue.
there.
My job. I almost failed geography, so I don't
Yeah.
know. That, and I'm trying to
Yeah.
remember all the little towns in Pennsylvania too. That's a little tough for me.
We're pretty secluded where we're at. Like I tell people, I said anything's a hike for us. I mean, even to go to Walmart, it's a 45-minute, half hour, 45-minute drive. So
Yeah, that makes it
yeah,
tough.
we're kind
Is
of yeah, we're kind of just out in our own little world.
at least the Lamphere shop not too far from you then?
Yeah, it's about a half hour from my house to the shop.
Wow, okay. And I take it you got to go there quite often, maybe even daily.
Oh yeah, I'm there pretty much every day,
So what do you
which luckily for me, my work is only about 15 minutes away. So usually right after work, I go up and I work on the car.
Okay, so what's your day look like?
I usually get up 4:30 in the morning and I go to work, and hopefully usually by 4 or 4:30 I'm done, and then it's to the garage till whatever time that may be, and then it's home, dinner, shower, and start it all over again.
Do you guys is there a lot of sheet metal pounding out? Some
Yeah,
weeks.
depends on the night. Some weeks there is, some weeks it's not too bad.
Yeah. I never I always thought I always didn't give you guys the benefit of the doubt. And then Terry Pierce put it to me pretty well one time. He said, these guys don't have the laps around Woodhall and it's hard and they're on hard tires. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe I should start talking to a few of these guys a little bit more then and pick their brain a little bit.
I mean, I don't know. It's not too bad. I mean, I feel like, you go to tracks here, you go to tracks there, it's bound to happen that some class is going to have a bad night
Sure.
sooner or later, you know. So I mean, yeah, granted, like the tires are hard, and if you know it's a track that people aren't used to, you know, it may throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in it. But like I said, I feel like no matter where you go, sooner or later, somebody's, you know, a class is going to have a good race, and that same class might have a bad race the next week. So you just
That's
kind
right.
of adapt and overcome, and just
Right.
try to do the best you can.
Yeah, well, that's I heard that a lot about the Crate Sportsman, and then you poor guys come in, and then you guys take the brunt of it, and then this past week it was the street stocks, and you know, it just kind of going all over the place. So you're right about that. Was there any big adjustment when you hopped from the street stock to the IMCA?
Yeah, there was a little bit. You learn very quick not to get down in the or get down at the end of the straightaway and just chop the gas. That's a no-no. They get a little wild if you do that. You're not used to it. But yeah, I mean, I think other than that, just you don't coming from a street stock, obviously you got a lot of tire under you, or more tire under you. You know, my biggest thing was, man, I don't know if I can drive this in the corner as hard as you can a street stock because of the tire. But you know, once you get used to it and you get the car right, you're like, ah, you can drive these things pretty hard. So, but yeah, there was a little bit of a learning curve, but it wasn't too bad.
Right. Have you ever driven a Crate Sportsman?
Nope, I've
No.
never driven one. Nope.
Okay. I was wondering if it was the same thing as them because I swear to you, I thought I was going to flip it over. And then I watched the video and I was going about probably 20 miles an hour.
I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, the biggest thing was is when I actually got into an IMCA and I started really racing it, I was already racing the street stock, so I was, you know, I never really quit racing. I was kind of flipping for, I don't know, 2 years or so, 3 years probably. I was flipping back and forth, and you know, I was only racing the street stock at the Hill. So at the end of the year, I would take the IMCA to the series races that were left. So I think that helped me a little bit, just because of all the seat time I was getting flopping back and forth between the two cars. Like I tell people with the IMCA, there's only one way to get decent in them and get used to them, and that you got to drive them, you got to race them. They're you know, unless you have a lot of time in one previous to driving one, or you're just that good at driving one, there's only one way to get decent, and you just got to turn laps.
Right.
That's about as plain as you can get.
Right. Now I got the $100 question for you. Have you ever been to Boone, Iowa?
Nope, that is one place I have never been.
Now, is it, do you
I
think that's ever in your bingo card, maybe, or?
yeah, I think so. I'd like to race there before I decide that it's, you know, I'm all done racing. But I think that we'll make it there for sure. That's on a bucket list thing
Yeah.
for sure.
Has Keith ever been?
Yep, he's been a few years. He's been to Marshalltown, so yep, he's got some laps around both those places.
No, see, that's what you need to do. All three of you guys just go down there and have fun.
Yeah, for sure. We try to hit Florida. We've been to Florida the last 2 years, and race a clash on the coast, so that's definitely a big help. You know, get to experience some different tracks and racing with, you know, people you don't normally get to race with. So that definitely helps as well.
And big car counts.
Yeah. Even the heat races are like mini features. So
Right. That's what I heard. Boy, I think it was Todd Burgess I was talking to, and that Tyler Belcher, he won the heat in Iowa, and then I'm looking, and he's not even in the feature, and I'm going, well, how do they even do this? So they just got so many cars that you're, I don't know. It seems like a tough thing to do.
It is, and like we all talk about the problem with us is, like I said, we'll have 20, 27, 28 races for the year, and you know, you get some of those guys, Iowa, Florida, you know, they'll race 60, 70, 80 nights, and you know, it's just you. I'm like, that's 3 years, 4 years worth of racing for us, and you know, it's hard to compete with somebody who has that amount of laps. that amount of laps in a season, and then you take the guys that not only have that many laps in a season, but they have 11, 12, 13 or better years in a car. It's hard to compete with guys like that.
So
So
when you go down to Florida, is that a little bit of a learning curve just to learn the tracks? Are they a lot different? I know they're a lot different, but is that
the surface is different, but that's not too bad. I mean, Keith ran well down there. I had some, well, I didn't race this past winter. I was waiting on the new car, but the first year I went, it was a little rough go at the beginning, but as we got some time in there, it was got faster and got more used to the surfaces and racing with the guys. And it's I feel like if you take nothing else away from it, it's definitely a good learning experience for sure.
right. So what's the biggest track you've ever raced on? I'm trying to
Sealant Grove.
Sealands Grove. So do
Yep.
you like that better than the like Woodhull? I guess what do you prefer, like the bigger track, the more wide open, or the tighter bullring?
Honestly, I thought that I was gonna like the Bullring stuff a little better, but I like the bigger tracks. I don't mind the bigger tracks. I was like, I'm not really sure how I, was gonna adapt to the speed, but I felt like the only time you really felt like you were going fast is when you got into the corners. Other than that, you just kind of laid back and you rode. But no, I like the bigger tracks. I'd love to get on another half mile if possible.
Yeah, we'll have to see what Jake can come up with.
Yeah, I think if it was up to him, we'd be on another one. I mean, I get it. It's hard on stuff. I mean, I was leading the heat race actually at Sealands Grove, and I had a motor blow up. Wasn't because of the half mile. We were just racing hard, and I got a wheel shot, and being it was a crate, I think that you're going so fast that just everything kind of got out of balance, and it ended up spitting the rods out and making a mess of everything. But it is kind of hard on stuff, but it's definitely a good time though.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. Like I said, I hot lapped a crate sportsman. First time I've ever been in a race car in my life. Well, more than just sitting in it. And I watched the video, and I bet you I don't even know if I was going 30 miles an hour. But when I was in that car, you would have asked me, I would have swore I was going 100. I don't know how you guys can do it. I really got a new appreciation for race car drivers.
I don't know. I feel like, you adapt and overcome. I feel like it's either you either go into it and you're like, well, I'm just gonna ride around in the back, or you just tell yourself, well, I'm just gonna go and try to race, and whatever happens, happens, I guess.
Right. One more thing before I let you out of here, I did want to know about. Now, I don't think you've ever probably pulled into a racetrack and had to put an X on your car. How did you come up with the 943? Because that might be the most unique car number I've ever seen in my life.
So when I first initially started racing four-wheelers, I started drag racing, and you sign up and they gave you a random number, and 943 was the number that I got, and it's stuck with me ever since. And or like my dad says, I was the 943rd idiot that thought this was a good idea. But yeah, that's how the number
Did you win
stuck
a
with me.
lot in the four wheelers?
Yeah, I won six championships,
Right.
motocross racing. It was funny. I didn't win a championship drag racing. I finished second. Oh God, probably 3 or 4 years in a row. And then I got motocrossing, and yeah, I ended up winning, I think, six championships doing that. So yeah, I mean, I'm not. I mean, like I tell people, I said, I guess I'm not new to points racing. I'm just new to the dirt car stuff. Well, I guess not new at this point, but of course everybody's oh, is Saturday on your mind, and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, of course it's on your mind, but especially racing for your what's going to hopefully be the first championship. But at the end of the day, like I said, you're going to go and play the cards you're dealt, and if it was meant to be, it'll all work out the way I look at it.
Right. So you've never won a championship in a dirt car, though.
No, I finished the very first year in a street stock. I finished fourth. The next 3 years, I finished second in the championship running. And then the last 2 years, I've been third. So
You,
I feel like sooner or later, one's due to me, I hope.
yeah. Well,
Hopefully Saturday.
hopefully in like what, 2 days?
Hopefully in 2 days we can get it done. But like, at the end of the day, even if it doesn't happen, I've had a pretty good season, and I'm thankful to be in the position that I'm in.
Well,
So
like in like you.
regardless of the fact, I'm grateful for it.
Right, and like you said too, last year you said you had a tough time of it. And this year, I think at least at Woodhull alone, you've got what, 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, maybe a fifth. At least you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, no, it's been a very, very good season. Like I said, I'm happy with how we've been. Obviously, as a racer, you want to win races and you want to get a big check and you want to win championship and all that. But at the end of the day, I can't be upset with how everything's gone this year.
Right. So I got to ask you one question too. So say Keith wins on Saturday, right? But you finish second. Would you rather have three feature wins or the championship?
I don't know. I guess it's six to one, half dozen to the other. I don't know. You ask some people, they'd rather the race win. You ask some people, they'd rather the championship. I don't know. I guess if I had to pick one, I'm gonna pick the championship because I've won, I guess, what, seven features, one in IMCA and six in the street stock. So I guess I'll pick the championship for this time,
Yeah. Well, and you know what? There's probably almost no better way to do it than your good buddy wins three and you win the championship. He finishes second, and
Yeah, I guess it would kind of work out because he won the Thunder Mountain Championship and I finished second. So I guess if it could work out any better, then I'll hopefully all things considered, maybe I'll win this one and he'll finish second in this one. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it all plays out.
Right. Do you like the what was it, the five race ordeal? Rather than having to commit to something weekly, it kind of gave you, once a month, you're going to pop in there. Or do you kind of wish there was more or less? Or I guess just on the season, what were you thinking?
I mean, I like the fact that there was five. It was kind of spread out, but I like to ra I mean, like I said, racing is my only really hobby I have. So, I want to race as much as possible. But at the end of the day, we have this conversation quite a bit. I'd like to see more, but with Thunder Mountain racing, the hill racing, we don't have enough cars. That's the problem. We don't have enough cars to go around. I think we're in a good spot. I think that more are coming. There's more people that have got them, and the way it sounds, there's more people that will be getting them. But I just we can't. We just don't have enough cars to spread the wealth to have a handful of tracks that are weekly tracks. Maybe in time that'll happen, and I hope it does. I hope it does, but I kind of think where we're at right now, I think it's a pretty good spot. I mean, every race that we've had at Woodhull or Thunder Mountain, we've averaged whatever 12 to 18 cars, I believe,
Wow.
somewhere in there. And just people, some people I don't think understand, how difficult it is to race that much. Like I said, we'll have 27 or 28 shows then, and 10 of them got rained out. It's life happens, kids and sports and jobs and money, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. And like I said, I think the class is in a good spot. I think it's headed in the right direction. Like I said, I'd love to see more racing, but I think as of right now and probably next year, I think it would be best to kind of keep it the way it is. Maybe we can add a couple more in here or there, but I mean, I feel like just the sporadic racing is good because it's tough for a lot of people to be able to commit to every week. I mean,
Right.
I feel like that's kind of, there's only a, I truly feel like there's only a handful of us that are that can really commit to something like that. So nobody wants to go see 5 to 8 cars race.
Right.
I think us as racers and fans and track promoters and everybody as a whole wants to see that 12 to 15 or more cars. So I think we're kind of in a good spot, and you just have to take baby steps at it.
Right, and I guess the one thing too with the IMCAs is tracks aren't working against each other at the moment, and that's probably a really good thing. Because you look at these other classes, like take the modifieds, every track runs them. Friday and Saturday night you run them, and then they run a couple of series throughout the week, and that really spreads drivers thin. And I know when we picked our schedule, we said, well, when is the series not running, and when is Thunder Mountain not running? Because I think that's the only Saturday track that we would compete against. So we didn't want to take, and I think that's probably the way to do it for now. I know probably as an IMCA guy, the hope is that, you could grow it to where every track could get 15 to 20 cars a week, but,
Yeah, and I mean that was, back in the day before I actually got a race car. I was around the IMCAs. That was kind of the big downfall of it before. There was every track was IMCA sanctioned, but there just solely wasn't enough cars to go around. And you got a handful here, a handful there, and at the end of the day, most of the IMCA cars in our group are based right around the hill. If, like I say, we probably need, I'm just shooting a number out there, but I'd say probably 40 cars, 45 cars. You need 20 here and 20 your guys' way, and then you could spread the wealth a little bit. But as of right now, with the number that we got, it's you kind of try to, like you said, not spread everybody thin. And it kind of worked out for Thunder, and it worked out for you and you guys, and it worked out for the Hill. So I think for the greater good of the whole, I think if we keep it the way it is for another year, hopefully we gain some more people to the class, and it continues to grow like it is.
Well, and I think the hope too would be that you'd pick more up our way. 'Cause I don't think there's I you guys travel a lot, and but I don't think there's very many. I mean, you got Hunter, he lives, I mean, you could hit his race car with a rock from the racetrack, but other than him, there's I don't know if there's really anybody off the top of my head that's right around our area anyway, or my area anyway.
No, not, not I don't believe so. Yeah, pretty much, like I said, everybody's kind of, the Hill slash Thunder Mountain ish way.
Right.
Basically, out your guys' direction would be where we need more cars.
Right. And that
Sure.
would make it a little, I guess, a little easier too. But then you could also go with the other way. Maybe if you made it weekly, maybe some other guys would get them simply because they could race every week and not have to travel to Thunder Mountain. But, I don't know. I know race car drivers, they're going to travel if they want to.
That's kind of the way I look at it. People, they'll complain about the travel, but at the end of the day, if you want to race, I guess you're gonna travel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jacob, I appreciate you joining me. I really don't got nothing more for you. If you got anything you want to say, or just a few sponsors, or all your sponsors, shout them out. And I will say, I do want to remind everybody, I try to do this every time, that if you need something done, and he says a business that can help you out with that, give him a call, because we need to support people that support race cars. So, I guess I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I have to thank, first off, Matt and Kara Hayes, my car owners. They're great. I couldn't ask for any better car owners. The Lamphere family, they've done a lot for me as far as, my racing goes. When I first got a car, I took it up to their place, and it was only supposed to be up there to get a body put on it, and we got the body done, and they're like, well, we got scales and everything, and we'll help you set it up. And then that happened, and then I never left. Here we are six years later, and that I'm still working out of their shop. And my girlfriend, she puts up with a lot, sacrifices a lot so I can do this. And my family, her family, all my sponsors on my car. There's a ton of them, and I wouldn't be able to be in the position that I'm in if it wasn't for all them. So I'm grateful that grateful that they put forth the effort, and I'm able to do this. So.
You're doing a great job. I appreciate you hopping on with me. Good luck on Saturday. We'll be pulling for you. I always like first time winners, whether it's championships or races or whatever. So
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, we're gonna go and we're gonna play the cards we're dealt, and if it was meant to be, it'll all work out. But either way, we're gonna give it our best shot, and we'll see what we can do.
yeah, and most importantly, have fun, because I think some people forget that it's all supposed to be for fun. So,
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Some days it's frustrating, and you sit there and you scratch your head, and you're like, man, they're like, why? You're like, why do you put yourself through this? But in the same thought or the same breath, you turn around and you look at the car and you're like, well, I guess it's not gonna fix itself. So we're just gonna get back after it and try again next week.
Yeah, a lot of feelings change between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Right, Jacob.
So
Hey, thanks for joining me here tonight. I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I'll see you on Saturday.
all right, thank you. I appreciate it, and we'll see you Saturday.
All righty. So once again, I do want to remind everybody that driver interviews, or just any interview in general, we've had a few people on here, a promoter, an announcer, whatever. They're brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer a dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they will come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. So, once again, I want to thank you all for listening. Please like and subscribe on the Facebook page, on YouTube. Well, no, just like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Follow us on Woodhull Raceway on Facebook, Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. And I guess I'll see everybody on Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Thank you to Jacob Ingham one more time for making time for me. And everybody have a good rest of your week.